This morning we're going to start in really the fourth step, and we've been going through steps here really where we had three steps starting out and lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And we're really going through four steps. And the first step was the fact that we were into the fact that it's God's will for all to be healed. And the fact that we had to come to the knowledge of that. We had to come to the knowledge that it was God's will for everybody to be healed. There's no way to be healed if you think in any way God wants you to be sick. Well, then you couldn't operate toward God in faith to be healed if he wants you sick, because you'd be opposed to God. And if you believe that God has people sick for a reason, and some people are sick for a reason, well, there might be a reason why somebody is sick, but it ain't God's reason, because God's perfect will is that man be well. So if people may do things that cause them a problem, but it's not God causing them the problem. It's man. And so, but it's God's will, and a person must come to the place, and that's a huge one. Also, we looked at God as a liberal giver, and we looked at that fact because we want to lay the groundwork, and God is giving. Even though if God wants you well, many people would be skeptical of whether God would give you healing or not. But we looked at it's God's will, and we also began, as God as a liberal giver is in the areas of healing, we began to look at ways that God gives man healing. And we set up and looked through those things, and we laid in that foundation of God giving healing. And really, we emphasize the laying on of hands, which I believe is a thing to do, because we found that really from a scriptural basis, that's the major way that God deals with people in this area, so that we know is really that's a foundational way to minister to people is by the laying on of hands. And it's not just from the standpoint of healing. God also does it to impart gifts to people, because we have it from a scriptural basis. But healing is ministered, we know from that way, because Jesus told disciples that that was a sign that was going to follow everyone who believes. Everybody. Now just think about it. It's a sign that follows every believer. He said, in my name you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so I wonder what, you know, I don't know if we have 10% of Christianity even believes that. I don't know if it's even 10% would actually believe that that'd be true. Isn't that a shame? Jesus said these signs will follow, but the church don't walk in it, live it, but we got to get in line with it. Because it's always amazing to me, there's all kinds of these people who are skeptics about healing till they get sick. Then they're looking for every way in the world trying to get well. And, you know, I don't believe God. God has us sick for a purpose. And as soon as they get sick, you know, even in their churches that don't preach healing or believe in it, and they'll put in a prayer request, pray for me, I'm sick. It's like totally ludicrous. I mean, it's absolute insanity. And, you know, God sometimes has mercy on people in all their stupidity. He still has mercy. Thank God. But what we're going to look at today, and here's the, is an important part, because here is an area we're going to deal with, is the fourth step. Is this is the area I believe that many people miss it here. Many people who believe it's God's will for them to be well, they believe that. They believe God is a willing giver. They understand about the laying on of hands. They understand about other gifts of the Spirit, other way God ministers healing. They have maybe been in services, seen it, watch it operate, do these things. But we're going to be over in this area we want to look at this morning is dealing with how God, what does God give the sick to heal him? What does he do? This is one of the things we need to deal with, because many people are looking in wrong direction. So, really, the failure to understand what God gives to the sick when hands are laid on them has cost many people their healing. This is why they don't get healed. They come and they'll walk away confused. I don't understand. I believe God wants me well. Why ain't I getting well? It's because when they go through the whole thing, when they finally get to this point, they're looking for something else. The failure to understand this is what God gives you is the main reason for that few ever come to the place that they believe they receive when they pray. This is the reason why. Over the years, I know from the time when I first got born again and listening to people talk and teach and started hearing what people said, I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching. And I know Kenneth Hagin never talked about what most everybody else talked about, and I started to understand why most people couldn't get healed. Because when it came to the area of believing they were receiving, most people, the Spirit-filled people, most of them were out of line the Word of God. And I listened to them talk from ministers to whoever. and I listened to what they said, and I realized they're saying unscriptural things. They're expecting, and they're looking at unscriptural, they're trying to believe things the Bible don't tell you you're supposed to believe for. They're doing their thing. They get to this point where they believe it's God's will. They believe it. They've sat and served. They've watched the healing power of God. They've seen the demonstrations. You know, they, back when I came into the kingdom, we had different guys that were pretty popular at that time that some of them aren't even around today. But, man, I tell you, they had some fantastic healing services. God would do wonderful things to people in these services. And it was amazing, the stuff that was just absolutely wonderful. It was a blessing to watch what God was doing. So, and you'd see people get healed in many different ways. You know, you'd have reports on shows on televisions of all the different ways that people were getting healed, of different things that happened, and people writing in to them and telling them, and people giving testimonies. But our experiences have led us to an unhealthy conclusion about God, about what God gives us when hands are laid on us. So because people don't have knowledge of the Word of God, they don't know what to look for when hands are laid on them. They don't know what they don't know. People come up to be prayed for with all kind of different ideas and things of going on. I see many times, and I've talked about this numbers of times, is the fact people come up in prayer line, whether it's healing or something else, you're praying for a specific thing. They don't come up to believe they're going to receive something. They come up and they think if they're standing there praying in tongues and doing all kinds of stuff and going through their religious shenanigans. they don't even, you're there to believe you receive something. That ain't the time to be standing there praying in tongues. Now, it might be good to pray in tongues to keep you maybe for a time for your mind, but when you're being ministered to, that's the time to get ready to receive. And ain't the time standing there talking to God about stuff. Speaking mysteries to God. You ain't supposed to be speaking the mysteries. You're supposed to be believing you're receiving. See, I see ministers do people all the time. Well, it's just praying tongues and getting people. Or sometimes you might have to do that for a little bit to people to get their mind off the natural and get it over there. But when hands are laid on you, it ain't the time to be trying to get in faith, trying to get a hold of God, trying. That ain't what you're supposed to be doing. You know, it's like going to work in the morning and also in your mind is what you got to do at home. You're going to have a bad day at work. You're probably going to make a lot of mistakes because your mind ain't going to be on your job. It's going to be on other stuff, and you're going to make all kind of mistakes because you ain't thinking right. Well, it's the same way when it goes over in areas of ministry. People get over there just doing their religious, you know, just like their religious cliches, we have our religious actions. That this is what you do. So many people are so wanting to fall over to make somebody think they got something that they get nothing. Let's fall down under the power. That's a sign something happened. I want you to understand, you can get knocked down by the power of God and get nothing. God's power can knock you down and you don't receive it. It doesn't matter that it knocks you down. You know, it's sort of like with electricity. A person who's grounded, when electricity goes through, if the current's high enough, it'll kill them. That means they got it. Then on the other hand, a person that's not grounded, that electrical shock can actually knock them and knock them down. But they don't die from it. Why? Because they don't receive the shock. They just sort of get a power hit, knocks them down, but it don't go through them and kill them. You can get knocked down by the power of God and you did not receive a thing because you were never grounded. In other words, you weren't in faith. You might have been in faith in part, but you weren't really in faith with a ground that would actually work. You had a faith to a point, but you need to understand this is why, and this is what people, and like I'm teaching this because people listening to this, people need to hear, people are not totally confused out here, is why it don't work. Faith is not some complicated thing. It's easy to do. People have complicated it by their religious ideas, what people have said about things, what people are looking for, or what they expect. I look for nothing or expect nothing more than the Word of God said. I've learned to do that. Now, thank God I had a good teacher. I paid attention to Kenneth Hagin. People sure tried to get me away from him. You don't listen to that. That faith stuff's out there. Thank God I didn't pay no attention to those people, and I listened. I paid attention. And You know, it's just like many people teaching stuff today. You're never going to get anywhere listening to them, because it isn't that they don't have some things right, but some things they just don't know what they're talking about. And they more rely on gifts and manifestations of the Spirit for people to get well, but they really don't understand how the faith thing works. I know this, and this is not critical of Benny Hinn, but this is just the way Benny Hinn had went to some ministers, and I know from one of the ministers that he talked to, didn't understand why people were going to his meeting and getting healed in a short period of time. They were back and just as sick as they were. And he didn't understand why. Because I know this then. Benny Hinn may know a lot about how the Holy Ghost works, but he knew little about how faith works. He didn't know. He didn't understand people's faith. He didn't understand what was God. He understood how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, which is good. A lot of people can learn some things off of him about how to operate under the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people don't know a thing about the operating under the Holy Ghost. They don't know a thing about it. And he knows a lot about that area. He understands a lot about yielding to the Holy Ghost and doing things. But on the areas of faith, he doesn't know. He didn't know why people were ending up trying. He didn't know why. And these ministers told him, you need to start teaching some people some things about faith and how to walk by faith, so when they leave, they can stand, because the devil will come attack them again. They didn't get healed by their faith. They got healed by a manifestation of the Spirit. He did, but understand, he didn't understand the difference. He didn't know the difference. And I'm not knocking him, because most Christians don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. I've heard Christians tell me, oh, they believe God and God healed. And I know they never believed nothing. They got healed by a manifestation of the Spirit. If it was on their faith, they'd have never got nothing. Thank God. But you know, hey, God did tons of things for me. It wasn't based on my faith. I was walking as best as I understood, but I was pretty stupid. But He still blessed me, because I was walking in the light that I had. He did things to encourage me to keep believing, to learn, to develop. But He never expected me to be 20 years down the road believing exactly like I did when I started off. This is where most people do. They never grow past that point. They listen to me. I've learned over this time, if something is not working, then I know this for a fact. I don't know. I don't understand. Then therefore what I'm doing is not right. It isn't working. I learned, Kenneth Hagin said, look, if you're standing in faith, there's no such thing as never seeing a change or never seeing nothing. You might not see instantaneously result that you want, but I'll tell you, faith will start to change something. And this is what we want to look at today, because we need to grasp a hold of this area. Now, this is a question that came from Doug Jones in a book that he wrote about healing. He said this, what is the item sought after when people enter a healing line? What are they seeking for? What are people looking for? You need to ask yourself that question. What am I looking for? What am I coming here for? What is it? See, people think they know what they're coming, what they enter that line for, but many people are not entering that line from a scriptural perspective. They are doing it. They're looking at end result and not what they're supposed to be doing at the time. You know, it's just looking at end result. You know, you can look at the end result of things, and this is what many people do in life all the time. They're stepping over things that they need to be doing because they're trying to attain the end result, but they're not doing the things in between that give you the end result. It's doing those things in between. When we step into that line, that's a thing in between. That's not the end result. And this is where people miss it. It's not the end result. Say, okay, what does the sick expect to receive when they pray or when they're prayed for? What do they expect? It's just like, ask yourself, what do I expect? What do I expect to receive? What am I getting? What am I going to do? What is this? See, people come for prayer. This is why people get over there. So like I said, many times people get there, they'll just pray in tongues and they'll just blah, blah. You're praying, you even prophesy over them. They never quit praying in tongues. They never even listen to what you're saying to them. I've had people do that all the time. They don't even listen to nothing. But they have their religious ideas about how things work and what they are, what we're doing. And I'm not knocking them. It's a problem. And if it's not stopped, people are not going to get what they came for. Now, what the sick generally expect, To receive is their healing manifestation. That's what people are generally, that's the idea. They go. But let me just say this to you. It's totally unscriptural. There's no basis in Scripture ever tells you you're supposed to believe about any of that. See, I remember when I first got saved and that stuff, and I got around Christians and that stuff, and they always talking about the manifestation. I thought this was interesting because I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach for years and years on healing and never hear him talk much about believing anything and never talking about I had to believe anything about manifestation. Never at all. And you know what? I went to the Bible and I don't see anything where Jesus told people to believe for their manifestation. I don't see anything where John wrote. I don't see anything where Peter wrote. I don't see anything where Paul wrote. Never. Never, 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 never. Yet we got this thing that has gotten in the church about manifestation. And I believe it, God, I've heard people, I believe it, God, for my manifestation. Well, you might as well just go see as many doctors as you can. Because there ain't no place in the Bible tells you to believe for your manifestation. It don't tell you that. See, that's getting... You know, the manifestation is not in Ed's hands. But this is what it is. If Ed doesn't do his part, he'll never see the manifestation. The manifestation is in God's hand. That's what he does. He does the healing. I do the believing. So when I do the believing, I am supposed to believe what he said I'm supposed to believe and not what somebody told me I'm supposed to believe. And we got this messed up. This has been messed up, and I see people get so fed. I'm standing in faith, and I'm waiting for my manifestation. They're manifestation-oriented. Their speech is manifestation-oriented. It is not faith-oriented. It's not faith-oriented because they're not saying what the Bible says they're supposed to say. So if they're not saying that, they're not believing that. Faith comes by hearing. So coming, Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. What they're saying, you'll know what's in their heart. They're not in a place of faith. I'm never told to believe the manifestation. If I do the faith part and God don't bring the manifestation, he's a slouch. He's a fraud. He's a liar. I never have to worry about the manifestation side. That is not my part. That's not your part. And when you find that out, if you finally get to that, what a relief it is. That's like Alka-Seltzer. Remember the old Alka-Seltzer commercials? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. That's what it is. You know, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. In other words, we do our part. And you know what? Oh, what a relief it is. I'm not healing me. I don't have to bring that. That is not my job. I can't do it. I can't do it. Ed ain't brilliant enough. Ed ain't smart enough. Ed ain't God. It requires God to do divine healing. It requires God. So, I got to find out, what am I supposed to do? So, listen to this. Here's another thing Doug Jones says. I think it's really great. It's a great saying. Listen to what he said. If what God gives is healing manifestations, why would Jesus tell us to believe we receive when we pray? Why would, now I want you to think about that. Why would I believe I receive when I pray? If God gives healing manifestations, he'd have told me to believe in a healing manifestation, wouldn't he? Why would... He didn't. He told me to believe I receive at the time that I pray. Why would I believe I receive if the manifestation is what you were supposed to believe you got? Well, then you'd get the manifestation. You wouldn't have to believe nothing. If when you prayed, the manifestation is what would come, then why would you have to believe you receive when you pray? The reason I believe I receive when I pray is because that is an act of faith. You don't see your healing yet. You don't see your healing. If you had to believe you receive it when you pray, but when instantly you pray you receive, you didn't have to believe nothing. You didn't have to believe you received it. Believing you receive comes first. You believe. Faith is operates in the realm of the unseen. It's not manifest and it's not visible. Why would you have to believe for something you can see? The Bible tells us. You know, why would you, the Bible, you know, Paul wrote, ask you, why would you believe what you could see? Why would you do that? See, people are believing for manifestation. And because I want you to look at this, because look what he says here in Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, what? Believe you receive them. Actually, in the Greek, it's in past tense. Believe you have received them. And after you believe you have received it, it says, and you will have them. So what comes first? What comes first? You believe you receive them before you ever get it. So see, you can't believe you receive the manifestation because you'd have it. It don't even make sense. You can't believe you receive the manifestation. Now, in other words, you need to understand this. There is a time interval between believing you receive and manifestation. It says so in Mark 11, 24. It says so. There is a time period. There is a time period. The church seems to always override time periods. It's sort of like a church always does the thing, you know, about, oh, when the church leaves, they're going to leave here in a, you know, in a millisecond, bang, nobody's going to know it. Yet the Scripture never says that. The Scripture talks to us about being changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. But it said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. There's a time period between these things. The dead are going to rise first. If they're going to rise first, you know what? The dead people are going to get their new body before the living do. So we ain't leaving in a millisecond. That's all a bunch of junk. That's men's ideas. It's just like with this. People bypass what God says. God says, look, first things, there's things fall in line. See, this is why we're teaching. You have to believe it's God's will for you to be healed. You have to believe God's going to give it to you. Then, what's your next step? You got to receive it. Not, I got to receive my manifestation. He didn't say that. He said, you got to believe that God gave it to you before you ever see it. This is what people don't do. They get down to a line, and this is what happens. Hands get laid on them, and they're walking back wondering, well, I don't feel any better. I guess I didn't get anything. Well, they didn't. You didn't believe it. You didn't follow in line with the steps. It's not following in line with the steps. So, if God gave healing manifestations when we prayed, we know, if we were healed, we wouldn't have to believe anything. The fact that Jesus told us to believe we receive when we pray tells us we will have to receive, we will not receive instantaneously upon that. In other words, that step must be taking place. Now, we need to understand this. There can be, that interval can be longer or shorter. Now, I want you to understand this. This sometimes has to do with the level of faith that you're able to believe. You need to understand that. The time interval sometimes is between the person's ability to believe. Why some things take longer. Let's put it over to the natural side. It's like having two different, or say a person has an infection. Let's say a guy has an infection. He goes to the doctor, wants to get rid of the infection. Now, the doctor could give them an antibiotic. And that antibiotic he could give it at different strengths. He'd give them a tablet that has more or less in it. Well, probably something of more would probably attack it faster than it would something with lesser, you know, would attack it faster. Now, generally, doctors should, I imagine, they give it probably based on how the infection, how bad it is, because they shouldn't like to give you more than what you would have to cover the thing, you know. But anyhow, they'll give you these things, and we need to understand, my faith operating in areas of healing can really determine. You know, I've watched people go along and they sort of aren't really there getting healed. Things just aren't going wrong well, but they finally get themselves over to some real faith and all of a sudden things start changing. They start getting themselves over, and we need to know it does count over on our side. But we need to know this. Sometimes from the intervals, we know this. Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. He didn't say they were going to be instantly healed. Yet we do know sometimes it almost seems instantaneous. I've had sometimes, from the time I believed I received it, I had instantaneous healings. Sometimes I had some over a period of time. One of the things is I've learned some things over the years about how to respond concerning faith and healing, and I've learned how to shorten down times from things getting well. I'll recover much quicker. I mean, it'll do it in a real short period of time. I bring it under control. I've learned how to do that using my faith. But I never said, the manifestation's God's part. But the faith and believing is my part. That's my part. That's what's going to determine of what God can do on His side dealing with the manifestation. That's God's side. That is God's side. That's not your side. See, everybody's working on that side. Everybody's jumping on that side. That's not my side. If the manifestation and stuff isn't coming, then there's a faith problem. If I'm not at rest, I'm not in faith. If I'm not in rest about my manifestation, then I'm not in faith. So now the problem's faith. It ain't manifestation, it's faith. It's a faith problem. I'm not operating. I'm not operating over here believing I'm receiving. Now, so Jesus didn't promise us. There's no place in Scripture that Jesus promised you an instantaneous manifestation. He didn't promise that. He didn't promise an instantaneous manifestation. And so we need to, although sometimes there are those, especially over the areas when you see manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, you'll see instantaneous manifestations. But we're talking over the areas of using faith, just your faith. We need to understand, if Jesus said we lay hands on the sick and they recover, then we need to understand. He didn't say, you lay hands on the sick, they're going to have instant manifestations. Did he say that? No. But that's what most people believe. That's what most people are trying to do. It is the most incredible thing to me. People, the same person goes to a doctor and they'll operate over in the area and the doctor will give them medication and tell them they're going to recover. And you know what? They never go home believing they're going to have an interest in manifestation. Yet they believe they'll get better if they take the medicine. But God? No, I'm sorry. We can't believe God for 2 seconds. But the doctor? Oh, old Swami, you know, the great Allah doctor. You know, I'm serious, people talk about not having faith. It's the biggest bunch of junk bunk. They have all kind of faith in that. Faith in man, they have faith up to here. Faith in God, my God, the God's this big, man's huge. Their faith. But that's what men determine. They wonder why the system don't work is because they never work the system. They never work God's system. They're always working out. They look over. They're skeptics. They can only believe what they touch, taste, smell. They can only believe. They have to have a man standing in front of them telling them something. You know, and a doctor, he went to school for 27 years, so he has to be a genius, you know. You know, he's going to be the guy. And he's going to make it all happen. And there, the whole thing of it is why people get so mad at their doctor and they turn around, the guys go to school, you know, fortune. They'll turn around, sue him at drop a hat and wonder why they have to pay $200 to go see him. Well, dear Lord, it's one of they don't charge $1,000 to go see him. I would, if I was a doctor, you'd pay $1,000. I wouldn't let you off cheap. I wouldn't let you off, you know. It's the whole thing. People get over it and get nutty about it. They expect everything for nothing. They get over with God. They're trying to get, they're not even a participant in faith trying to get something. Not even a participant. You know, they believe in Obamacare. You get it for nothing. Give it to me for nothing. They thought it was all going to be for nothing. You know, that's just what we're going to have. It don't work. So believing that we receive when we pray indicates a time period between the praying and the manifestation. Doesn't it? It indicates that. That's what it is. It's a time period. Now, and that's what, you know, I had Mike, you know, teaching on the areas of patience. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. So why would we ever have to have any kind of patience if when you got prayed for, you received manifestation? That's what you were supposed to believe, you received manifestation. It don't tell you. If you're supposed to believe you received manifestation, then faith and patience is the biggest lie in the world. There needs to be no patience. This is why people are so impatient. They believe they're supposed to instantaneously get the answer. Yet the Bible doesn't teach that. They believe in instantaneous. Everything comes instantly. You know, my God, I pulled up to McDonald's, the drive-in window. I had to wait 2 minutes. Oh, my God. What kind of place is this? Well, you know what, though? You'll sit at the window and wait the 2 minutes. But if it's God, you won't wait 2 seconds. I didn't get it right away. What's wrong? What is the matter with this? What I don't understand. This bothers me. I prayed. I don't feel any better. Immediately, unbelief starts. Why? It's because unbelief was there when they got prayed. They weren't in faith. They never believed they got anything. They didn't plan on believing they were gonna receive their healing. They were only believing they were gonna get a manifestation. That's what they went to. The Bible don't tell you to go to believe for manifestation. It don't tell you that. Now, we do want the outcome of manifestation, but that's not my part. So let's put manifestation. This is one thing. My manifestation will come. Just sure as the sun comes up in the morning, I will have my manifestation. If I operate in line with the Word of God. If, I'll have it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes manifestations don't come as fast as it would like them. That's where it comes down to faith and patience. Sometimes Ed would like to have the manifestation 2 minutes, you know, and it's going for days. And it's like, wow, I didn't like that, you know. I'm not a big liker of pain. I don't like it. I don't like it, you know. You just do things and tolerate, you know. As I've told a story about before I was going on a mission trip down to Mexico and I tore a ligament in my foot. Until I got healed, the following day is that day I got healed in the airport when it manifested instantly then, at that time, but it didn't manifest instantly when I prayed, believed. And I prayed and I believed I received it. I'm going to tell you what, foot was in pain. Boy, it was painful. It hurt. And that thing, when I tore that foot instantly swelled up. It just instantly went, and it hurt. Oh man, it was painful trying to stand on that. Then I had to act in faith, and that was no fun because I had to go get packed and all this kind of stuff and doing this thing. I had to walk on it. The doctor said, don't walk on it. That's where a lot of people miss it all the time. You know, they say, I'm bleeding. But I'll tell you, anything the doctor says is way up here. Anything God, they'll never act like they're healed. If a doctor says you stay in bed for 27 weeks, they will not make a move and they will tell everybody. And they wonder why they don't get a quick recovery. You're not ever planning for one. You never plan for a quick recovery. You can only have the recovery you plan for. I'm tired of Christians telling me about this thing about you got to use wisdom. What they mean is you got to throw unbelief in there with it. You must. I've learned this. God told me one time I do dangerous things. And what he was talking about is in the natural. I do dangerous stuff. I do things sometimes that my word, they're telling you'd kill you if you did it under the condition you were in. But I do them because, you know, when you have a heart attack, you don't go for a run. Did you know that? Crazy Ed went for a run. God told me I'd do dangerous things. But he told me this. This is why you've seen such miraculous things. You do dangerous stuff. Dangerous in the natural, but there's no danger of it in the spiritual because I'm in faith. See, there's a difference between the two. And people don't understand. This is why these people are, well, you got to use wisdom. What they're telling you is, look, you got to walk in the natural over here. You got to get over here in the natural and some spiritual. This will work. And they wonder why. It prolongs things. It prolongs stuff. And you got to get over where you're going to walk in faith about this stuff and stay over in the areas of faith. So, but we want to begin to look at this thing is, because when we go up to pray, this is important. We're going to start to look as a fact of, and I want to talk about dealing in the areas with Jesus, because what we're expecting when we go up, what we do, because there is something we should expect to happen. Now, I want to say this in teaching this, is that does not necessarily mean we're going to feel anything. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you might feel something when somebody prays for you. Sometimes you don't. But that makes no difference. What makes the difference is faith. If your faith is on what you felt, then you missed it. Your faith can't be because you felt. I know this. I have prayed for people personally. I've had people come and ask me later on. I don't understand. Nothing happened to me. When you laid hands on me, I felt the power of God come into me and nothing's happened. And I said, you don't get healed because you felt the power of God. That ain't what makes you get healed. You can feel the power. You didn't act on faith with the power. You never acted in faith. That's why. You felt something and you thought feeling something was going to do it. It never does it. It never. Understand, that's not due. The Bible says, if I feel something, then I know I'll have it. When you pray and feel something, then you're going to have it happen to you. But see, this is what people do. People don't act in line with the Word. They're following these things, and this is why it doesn't work. And I'm not saying this to be critical of anybody, but I have a terrible time getting this across to people. I've been preaching this for years, but I can't get it. People have a hard time getting across it because people say, "Well, I'm in faith." They don't know what faith is. They don't even know what it's about. They don't listen. They get stuff tied up in their mind, and when you say things, they hear the word faith, they automatically go over, and they're listening to what they believe about it. And you're there talking to them, and they never listen at all about what you said about it. They don't listen to anything about it, because they think they know. They think they know about faith, and they don't. In areas they don't know. Now, we need to understand this, that God gives the same thing Jesus gave when He ministered on the earth. God gave the same thing that Jesus gives. So, in other words, Jesus told us we pray, we're supposed to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. So when we pray or people lay hands on us in Jesus' name, the Father will do something. So Jesus didn't give the sick one thing and the Father gives them another. We need to understand that. Now, what Jesus gave to the sick then is exactly what the Father will give today. There's no difference. Now, I want to go through this thing because, you know, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. We need to understand that. He was. But we need to know this. Jesus operated, even though He was God, He never operated as God. Now, I'm going to read scriptures that you guys know, but we need to, still, these things are good to go over for us to establish certain things of fact within us so we know truth-wise with Jesus' ministry. That Jesus ministers a man, and you understand this, people praying for you, it's a man. And so, whatever Jesus did as a man in ministry like this, we're going to find out that God operates through men in ministry in the earth today in the same way. So what took place in Jesus, the man, was what's going to take place in the men in the earth today when they minister. So if you were supposed to expect a certain thing from Jesus, then what you're supposed to expect from the man today will be identical. So let's look at this. In John 14:10, it says this, "Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, He does the work." So Jesus is not declaring that He is doing this as God. He's not operating. He said, no, I'm here, I'm a man. This is God operating through me. In other words, this is what the Father does through me. In other words, I'm doing these things. The words that I speak, I'm not saying my word. These aren't my words. I'm not speaking to you as I'm God. I'm speaking to you as a man giving God's message. That's the way I'm speaking to you. That's what He's saying to him. Now, the works that I do, these works, those works are what the Father does. I'm only doing what the Father does. What the Father who's living in me, who does the works? Him. Well, the Holy Ghost that lives in you is going to do the work. The Holy Ghost living in you. It's not you doing the work. The Holy Spirit. So God, the Holy Spirit in you, just as Jesus had the Holy Spirit. See, so He said God. So the Father, the Holy Spirit operating under the direction of the Father, doing things. In John the 5th chapter, in verse 43, says this, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him you will receive." But I want you to see what Jesus said about himself. "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me." In other words, whose name did he come in? His own name as God? No, he said, "I came in my Father's name." In other words, I'm operating, like he said, under my Father's authority. I came in my Father's name. I'm doing. So Jesus represents the Father. He had power of authority to carry out His Father's business. Didn't we find out, you know, he's in teaching, what we as the church, we have the authority. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, these signs will follow you." Laying hands on the sick is authority that we've been given. Just as Jesus carried out, He had the power of attorney to carry out His Father's business, in the same way you and I have the same thing as believers. We have the same thing. So He said, so if the Father had come to earth, He would have said and done the same things Jesus did. In other words, that's what Jesus was telling us. Jesus was saying, look, if your Father God was standing here right now, I'm not doing anything different than He had done. I'm following what He did. These things. So we can look at the works of Jesus, and this is one time that these people talk about, well, I don't know what God would do about things. Well, I've learned, that's one of the areas I learned about healing. I never saw Jesus ever turn anybody down for healing. I know this for a fact. God wouldn't. Or Jesus, we just read all these lies Jesus just told us. These are all lies. None of this can be true if Jesus is making some people sick, because never one time did Jesus make a person sick. So Jesus deliberately perpetrated a lie to humanity if this stuff isn't true. It's a perpetrated lie. I mean, God does bad things to trying to make people sick, trying to do stuff, and Jesus is running around, all the stuff He's doing is a fraud. God's showing His nice side. He's going to show over here what He really did. So, in John 13, again in John 13 and verse 20, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So most assuredly. So here we see, Jesus is talking about He's not operating as God. And He tells you that men who will believe in Him, the ones who believe and receive Him, they're not going to be up. Where to go? It all goes back to God the Father. This is the manifestations of God the Father. He's doing what He did. You're receiving the Father because you receive me. And these guys who receive me, if you receive them, you receive me. See, it works in this chain. It's just like today. You go out here, we're called to preach the gospel. You preach the gospel to somebody, if they receive you and what you said, they receive Christ. They have to receive you and what you said. If they don't, they ain't going to believe on Jesus, are they? Well, if you believe on Jesus, well, you're going to believe on Daddy. Well, I can look at Jesus, and I can tell about Jesus, and that's why I can look at Jesus and His ministry. I can see an exact portrayal of Father of God, of how Father God will react and do and what He'll do. I can know distinctly. So, but understand this. Jesus is operating as a man. In John the 5th chapter, back there again in verse 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing. Hear that? The Son can do nothing of Himself. Well, so we know He's not operating as God, is He? He said He can't do nothing of Himself. But what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, who the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. If you take Jesus, look at Jesus in the salvation of the world, what He carried out. Now remember, He carried out salvation as a man. He went as a man to the cross. So you know what? This is why God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Does God love the world? He sure does. Because in Jesus we see Father's love. The world deserved God's judgment. All humanity deserved the judgment of God. But what did God give? So we look at God. Even though you deserve judgment, God says, I want to give you my love. I want to show you my love. He gave us Jesus so we don't have to face His judgment. But it was revealed through Jesus Christ so we can see how our Father is, how our Father looks at us. It's like when Jesus prayed for the disciples before He left, and He said, and prayed, He said, what He wanted them to know, that the Father loved them like He loved Him. There was no difference between the two. See, but most of the church world, Jesus is here, the Father's here, I'm down here someplace. People, in their view of things. You got to change that view. But we got to get over in the areas and realize we're doing things. When we look at Jesus' ministry, we need whatever God gave people in Jesus' ministry is really how God will work with us. See, there's a lot you can learn. If you understand those things, I know exactly what to expect under certain conditions and things that I can see that God will do, and I know the outcome. If I do certain things, I know what the outcome will be, how God will respond, because it's in the Word. If I look at Jesus' ministry, this is what He did. If I do that, God responds in the same manner. God responds in the same way. So we got to get over it and get ourselves in thinking. Jesus was not passing on something that that he didn't have. It was something that the Father gave him. In other words, he's telling us that the Father that's in him does certain things. In other words, these things are available. And I operate, God does it through me. It's not me. I'm just the vessel, or I'm the one that does it. But now, we know Jesus did things. Jesus either laid his hands on people or spoke over people. Jesus didn't walk around and things happen without his participation. In the same way, that's why people come to have hands laid on them. And you need to know this, because they should expect something is going to come out of them into somebody, and you should be telling people that. But you need to watch what you tell people, what they're supposed to expect. You better talk in line with the Word. You're supposed to talk in line with the Word, what they're going to get. See, I've learned this over time. I've watched this. I learned it in the areas of laying hands on people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, where people will mess around with that thing and mess around with that thing. I tell people this. I just say this. When I lay hands on you, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. He's going to come on you. Well, see, a lot of people say, well, we're going to pray for you to be receive the Holy Spirit. And they'll just pray a nice little generic prayer that the person don't expect. What? The Holy Ghost is going to... First of all, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes on you. And the Holy Ghost gives you words to speak. The Bible says so. So I tell the person, the Holy Ghost, He's going to give you, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost don't talk in tongues, you do. I don't want to lay hands on you, but when I do, the Holy Ghost will come on you. I have never had a person once ever tell me when I laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost didn't come on them. I've had people sometime had a hard time getting them to pray, speak in tongues. But they say, yeah, the Holy Ghost comes on me. Yeah, when you lay hands on me, the Holy Ghost comes on me. They don't respond to it, I think. They don't respond to it. Well, the Holy Ghost, I tell them, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. Well, He will. I lay hands on him. You said you wanted to receive it. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You got to receive it, though. You got to receive it like the Word says. You got to believe you receive it. No, what they want to do is the Holy Ghost come on them and the Holy Ghost make words come out of their mouth. That isn't what the Bible says, and that isn't scriptural, so they can't have it. They're believing wrong things. That isn't what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells you to believe, and what? When you pray, believe you receive. They got to believe they receive the Holy Ghost first. Thank God, that's why I tell people, now you thank God you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God you received the Holy Ghost, you're full of Him. Well, I don't feel like I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I don't care. You ain't got. What causes when you get full, you start talking in tongues? Now. But see, it's a manifestation, and we gotta understand it's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost fills you. Then you gotta start talking. You gotta start talking from the inside out instead of trying to do it from the outside. And people respond in their mind. But here in the same way. So, you must have something. There's something God wants to manifest through you, so there's power within you to lay hands on people to be healed. So what is it that people, and we want to talk about the things that is important, that people understand these things about this. So it's important. Now, we need to understand this about Jesus and His operation. Because see, one thing people get, if a sick person came to Jesus when he was 11 years old, could Jesus have given them anything? Could he? No. See, people, the whole thing of it is, majority of Christianity, they look at Jesus as, oh, when he was a baby, he was a miracle, you know, the miracle worker. No, he was a man. He came as a man. Philippians 2:7-8 says, he says, made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, and you remember the story when Jesus was, you know, a young boy in the temple. And when he got separated from his parents, and his parents went back and got him. If you read that whole story, in Luke 2 and verse 52 says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now Jesus could not have been operating at God as all. God never has to grow in wisdom or in stature. God never has to do any growing. Jesus operated totally, 100% as a man. If Jesus possessed anything when he came into the world, he would not have had to grow in wisdom and stature. He didn't possess it. He came as a man, even though he was God. Never was there his operation in the earth as God. Today he is. Today he operates totally under the prerogative of being God. He doesn't operate per se as a man. He operates as God. He's a God man, but he's God. And he operates from that. Now, so we want to see this because we're going to begin to look at this as what God gives. And let's see where we're at here. We'll start off in this. Is what God gives. Is God gives to the sick. And we're going to talk about it because what we're going to find is this. That God gives power to the sick. That's what he gives. He gives power to the sick. Now this is scriptural. God gives power to the sick. You can't give what you don't have. We're going to find out what God gave. You can't give. Like I say, you know, if you don't have $1 million, you can't give a person $1 million, can you? If you don't have $50,000, you can't give $50,000. If you don't have $100, you can't give $100. So you need to understand, or whatever you have, you know, you can't give away a car you don't have. If you do, you're going to jail. But you can't give. In other words, so when could Jesus have given something to the sick? So we have to ask the question, when could he have? If he didn't when he was this young boy, he didn't have something. When did he get something to give? So he couldn't have given the sick anything till after he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. At that time, the Holy Spirit came on him. In Acts 10:38, we have where it says, how God anointed, it was at that time when he was baptized, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? Power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power. Then he went about, when he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, he went about healing. He went about healing. What? When he got the Holy Ghost and power. Power is what he got. Power to heal the sick. Power to cast out devils, power to do all this, power does that. So, after this time, Jesus could give the sick two things. If we look Jesus and we see in his ministry, he could give them this, he could give them manifestations of the Holy Ghost. See, there's manifestations, people want manifestations. See, he could give people manifestations just like we go over and look in the 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 12th chapter, and we look at the manifestations of the Spirit, and it goes down through and tells you all the manifestations of the Spirit. Jesus, we know, operated all them except of tongues and interpretation of tongues, but Jesus operated every one of those gifts. In other words, Jesus could demonstrate and manifest those gifts to people. He could do that. After he got filled with the Holy Ghost, then we see all these manifestations of Spirit. Why would the people in his hometown, when he showed up, say, who's this guy? He lived here. In other words, he never did none of this stuff when he was living with us. Why didn't he? Didn't he? Because he wasn't anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. That's why he didn't. They said, where did he get all this? They didn't say, where did he get all these manifestations? No, they said, where did he get all this power to do all this stuff? Where did he get all the power? Power, power, power. Okay. So, they want to know. So, and also, he gave them something else. Another thing is he gave them healing power. That's one thing he did. He gave them manifestations of the Spirit, but he also gave them healing power. So when we pray, we can confidently believe that we receive. Now, like I said, it's not based upon your feelings, and it's not based upon what you see. We need to understand this. Jesus had something to give to people. We know this. Jesus told guys to go and show themselves to the lepers, to go show themselves. They never saw a thing. They got healed as they went along the way. They didn't even see, all of a sudden it started showing up on them. They never felt, they don't say they felt anything or anything like that. But I know this. There's only one thing could have done that was power. There's only one thing had done it. So you need to understand this. You don't have to feel. Sometimes people feel something. Sometimes they don't. But you know what? It never tells you that you're supposed to believe you receive when you feel. When you feel and you believe, that don't require no faith whatsoever. That's no faith at all. I believe I got something because I felt something. Like I said, I've had people over the years come and tell me they felt something, but they never got healed. They felt something. Wow, they moved over into the feeling side, and they lived on the feeling side, and so nothing worked because they didn't walk in the faith side. So, our confession really should be based on this, on from this standpoint. When we make a confession to God about ourselves and stuff, it's God's will for us to be healed. That should be a thing that we should be saying. We should say that God's a liberal giver, that God gives how? Through the laying on of hands. And what does God give me when when hands are laid on me? He gives me power. I get power. So, I hope you can start to understand why many people have trouble believing they receive when they pray. They have trouble believing because they're not thinking right. They're not thinking in the right area. They're thinking wrong about. They're over here caught on the manifestation side, the feeling side, the seeing side. They're over there. They're not believing they receive. They're not over on this side. You know, it's just like I said before about doctor giving medication. You know, a doctor would come along and give you pills to take. Say, like I used an antibiotic with infection. Nobody takes the first two pills and then believes that, you know, wow, my words, the infection ain't stopped yet. They don't even think 2 seconds. They wouldn't think that at all. You know what? They'll take every one of them pills if they feel lousy through the whole thing. Won't they? See? Why? They believe that those pills have power. When they take those pills, they don't feel a thing. But operate in faith 100% in that doctor and in that medication. And then they'll tell you, I have trouble with faith in God. Well, you don't have trouble. Yeah, because you believe the doctor bigger than you mean. Yet you'll operate the doctor. The doctor, you can go in the doctor, you still feeling bad, and the doctor will check you out and say, well, you're doing better. You go home and tell people you're doing better. You don't feel a bit better. But boy, I'll confess anything the doctor says. Anything that the doctor... But see, people don't realize that they're operating in faith all the time. They have faith in something. But in this area over here, it's just people have to have all the... When it comes to God, we got to see something, we got to feel something. Yet we operate all the time over here not feeling things, seeing it. And we're operating and we keep doing it. We have to have a feeling. Now, I'm going to use the scriptures here. And we're going to talk about event because it's a great event because we look at the fact as one of the things is we see with the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to look at it in Mark the 5th chapter. We're going to read down through this in here. But we've used this a number of times to demonstrate different things. Mark the 5th chapter in dealing with the woman with the issue of blood is absolutely... The woman with the issue of blood is a wonderful thing about how faith works. I mean, because you can see every aspect of what you're supposed to do in this lady. She's an absolutely outstanding example of what to do. And we're going to start in Mark the 5th chapter, verse 25. Says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And now really what the story backs up. We go back to the past. Is what we're doing here. It's telling us is what she did. She came up to this point, but it's going to tell us the past. When it says, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. It says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So, it says, and Jesus immediately, knowing that in himself, that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? What went out of Jesus? Power. Power went out of Jesus said, power went out of me. Well, what kind of power was it? Healing power. Did Jesus say, manifestation went out of me? Did he say that? No. What did this woman believe? Did this woman come and say, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll receive manifestation. What she said, if I touch him, I'll be made whole. If I get down there and touch him, I'm going to get well. I'm going to be made whole. She didn't say, she never even said she's going to instantaneously be healed, did she? She never said that. She said she was going to be made well. What happened when Jesus felt that power went out of him. So Jesus immediately, no, power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" See, even the disciples didn't understand this thing. They didn't get it. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, "Daughter, your faith made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So we see here, what did she come for? She came to be healed. What did she receive when she touched Jesus? What did she receive? She received power. She what? Power to be healed. That's what she received. Did she receive manifestation? No, she first received power. Jesus didn't say manifestation went out of me. Power did. In other words, one of the things that I've always liked to have done with many times if I minister to people, lay hands on them. I sense the power of God going into the individual, and I say this many times to people. I say to them, the healing power of God, God's medicine went into you. Now that's God's medicine. It's working a healing and a cure in you. Its power went into you. What you need is the power in you. God's power in you will heal you. It isn't God's manifestation in you will heal you. God's power will heal you. See, what happens as many times as people, the power comes, but if they don't get manifestation instantaneously, they just flip the switch of faith right off. Well, ain't nothing happened here. The power's in you. It is no different. God's power in you. You're not going to have to, the power of God. Sometimes, like I said, I've used, if a guy's back had vertebrae, were so-called, I don't know what all they do. They call them, weld them together, whatever they do. If his back was turned around and made whole, and neither of us felt any power go into him, power had to go into him to do that. But we didn't feel it. I didn't pray and say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, we just believe we receive manifestation." I just laid hands on him and we believe the healing power of God. I always pray the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, I believe the healing power of God is going into this person and making them well right now in the name of Jesus. That's what I believe is going on. If I feel it, sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I can tell you the power went in, sometimes I don't feel nothing. And I've known this over the years. Having the feeling of power going into somebody is no indication at all whether the person is going to get well. It's no indication whatsoever. I've had as many people come and tell me they got well and whole, and I never felt a thing, and they didn't either. I've asked people, "Did you feel anything I prayed for?" "No, I didn't feel anything." They just believe God. They just believe. What? They believe they receive. They believe they receive healing power. That's what makes you well. Healing power will bring a manifestation. That's what you need. You need healing power. That's what we minister to people, healing power. Jesus said, "We lay hands on the sick, and when great power comes out of us and goes into the other person, they'll recover." See, we add all this stuff. Christianity adds all this stuff to it. And what it did, it also did is led us to unbelief. And what happened? If we didn't see instant manifestations, we thought something was wrong. We wouldn't pray for anybody else because, my words, it didn't work when I prayed for the guy. Nothing. Didn't seem nothing happened. It didn't seem like anything took place. It doesn't matter if it seemed like. It doesn't matter. And so, with this woman, so power went in. So it did not say healing manifestation flowed out of him, does it? It didn't flow out of him. Healing manifestation. So, she came to receive healing, but what flowed from Jesus was healing power. And we'll end up looking at more of this. So she received from Jesus what we will receive from God in the same way. Or God will minister through us if we're ministering to somebody. Is going to be power. That's what a person. In other words, see, I believe I've learned it. I just say this: when I go down, somebody's going to lay hands on me. The healing power, the anointing of God's going to go into me and bring a healing and a cure. Praise God! That's what's going to happen to me. Somebody lays hands on me. See, the healing power of God is going into me. Hallelujah! Healing power is going to go in, and I'm going to have a healing and a cure. That's what I'm going to have. I'm going to get. I don't care if I feel anything or not. I don't have to feel anything. I'm acting in line with the Word of God. If God didn't give it to me and I believed, He's a liar. God can't lie. See, it's something, I mean, we'll believe what people will say to us without any kind of feeling whatsoever. And on the other hand, if we don't have a feeling from God, we don't have an instant manifestation, it's like, well, what's going on? And so we need to get over and get in line of what we're supposed to be believing that we receive when we pray or when we're prayed for. We're coming to receive healing power, or we're praying, I'm praying for myself. I'm supposed to believe I receive healing power from God to heal my body. And it's going into me. It's just like a doctor. Will it bring a healing and a cure? Sure it will. Jesus said if I prayed for the sick, they would recover. Well, with that healing power, if I prayed for myself, would it be any less? Would it do any less? Why, no, it won't. What you need is healing power. You need healing power to go in you to heal you, but you also need healing power to go through you to heal other people. Well, would Jesus tell you to lay hands on you and not put healing, and God not put healing power through you? Well, that'd be a God liar again. Well, He ain't gonna lie about it. So, we need to make sure that we're thinking right when we go and do things, you know? Whether I will tell you something, when you learn to operate in this, you'll be surprised how fast you recover things, how fast things change. They'll change a lot faster than what people struggle through, and they're just trying to always get something. They're always trying to get something. And they don't know how to respond to what they got. They're not responding to it by faith. They want something else. They expect people expect that they really feel the power of God real strong, that necessarily they're going to see an instantaneous change quicker. I don't find that true either. I've had the power of God already where I touched an individual and they must have flew back about 10, 15 feet. Flat out on the floor. Flew through the air, down flat on the floor. I didn't see an instant change. Well, tell you what, there was power there. There was definitely power there. I've seen ministers operate. I watched Benny Hinn do it. I met Benny Hinn one time knock a whole group of men. I bent back about 20 feet. It all happened through one guy. He laid a hand on one guy, and these guys are all standing behind and knocked the whole crew back about 20 feet out on the floor. Well, there's power there, wasn't there? There's power. Well, you know, and hopefully we can have that, or you can have no power. On the other hand, you know, we see Jesus. Jesus tells, you know, a person, well, as you believe, so it be unto you. That's what He said to blind Bartimaeus. We don't see that the blind Bartimaeus felt anything. He didn't feel anything. But blind Bartimaeus, he said to Jesus, you think I can do it? He said, sure enough. See, we got to get over in right thinking. Now, we're going to go over and talk more and look at other instances where the power of God, people were healed in what it talks about, the power of God. That's what people are supposed to believe they receive when they're prayed for. When hands are laid on them, we need to be telling them that the power of God. Now, people need to understand this. Power can be manifested. I mean, just think about this room. How many of you right now feel the light coming off of that lamp over there? You feel that? Do you feel that light coming off there? Well, it's a demonstration of power. It's a manifestation of power. Why don't we feel it? All kinds of things, Pa. We got electric running around through this house doing all kinds of stuff. And we're sitting here. Is the refrigerator running? Yeah, the refrigerator's running. Well, I don't feel it. It must not be running. I don't think it's running. I don't care what they say. That light isn't on because I can't feel it. I don't feel that light. Now, you can. You can go over there, maybe pull the plug out just a little bit out of the wall and stick your finger down in there and touch both. You'll get a feeling. Probably cause the light to go off though. But you see, you understand, and see, people get over it. When we go to God, people become strange in the way they think. But it's the way people are taught about stuff. They're taught that this is the way it happened. Yet, I constantly, people go back to the Word of God. What happened in the Word of God when things took place? What happened? I always agree with Brother Hagin. I don't want demonstrations or things other than are in the Word of God. God don't have to do things out. Great. God can do all kind of different things, but we need to understand. We need to look at the Word because we can see all kind of manifestations. People manifest all kind of crazy stuff. But that doesn't mean necessarily it was all God either. I've seen people go through great rigmaroles at meetings, run around, tell them all God did through them, and you never see them again, never follow God for 2 seconds. Ain't nothing happened. People get in the flesh and do things. We don't live by that. And so I just encourage you, as we want to walk by faith and not by sight, but if we get over in this area, is what you expect, that God's power or God's healing power is what I am going to receive when I believe, I receive when I pray. That's what I get. I get healing power. Healing power will bring about a cure. It'll bring about a cure. That's what it'll do. I will recover. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nobody should be talking any other thing than recovery after they're prayed for. They shouldn't be saying any other stuff. They shouldn't be talking about it. They shouldn't be going and seeing the doctor and the doctor tell them this, that, and then they come back and tell everybody. I'm sorry, I'm recovering. I'm recovering. Because a doctor might tell you you're not recovering. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to deny the power of God that went into you? You're going to deny that I operated in line with the Word, believed I received the power of God? If you do, you just turned everything off. And that's what people do all the time. They turn it off. They turn off the power of God. Then they want to say, I don't understand why this ain't working. Well, I know why it ain't working. I know why. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I know. If you follow the principles of the Word, they work. They work. If you know what you're supposed to expect and not expect, you should not be moved if you feel anything or don't feel anything. That shouldn't change a thing. That shouldn't change your faith. Your faith is not based, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what it is. So it shouldn't move you. As the fact is, I did what the Word says. God's power has to do what it says. Or God's a liar. Well, God can't lie, so that settles that. So I'm going to have what the Bible says. Glory to God. I'm going to have it. It's mine. The healing power of God is working inside of me. Glory to God. It's just like if I took a medicine. And that medicine would be inside of me working. I took the medicine. I followed how it does. Kenneth Hagin used to always use the example in this kind of teaching. He'd always say, it's no different than if you got pills from a doctor. He said, you could have those pills. And the doctor says, take, you know, 2 of these every 4 hours. He said, you got them. You put them in your pocket. And you go around and tell everybody that the doctor gave me medicine. And he said, this will fix my problem if I take 2 of them every 4 hours. And I do it. And he said, but I never take them. I just leave them there in my pocket. But I tell everybody I know. And I tell everybody, but I don't ever receive them. I don't ever take them because I never receive them into my body. Well, we receive God's stuff into our body by faith. It ain't by taking pills. It isn't physical. So I shouldn't expect physical feelings and everything have to be there to make it work. Because it's not physical. It's spiritual. So what I'm doing, now I'm going to get a physical result out of it, but faith, my faith, is completely on the spiritual side. It's not on the physical side. I may have physical actions that I do. It's just like when I went for a run. My physical actions were saying I believed I was healed. So I said, if I'm well, I can go for a run. See, most people only go for a run when they feel well. Oh, I feel good enough to get up and walk now. I feel good enough. That's their faith. Say, praise God, I'm going for a run. See, I'm glad when that happened to me, I didn't have any other Christians around me. I'm glad I didn't have, you know, a load of preachers around me or anything like that. They'd have had me in the hospital trying to get me, you know, for the rest of my life. I had a heart attack and I need to be taken care of. And say, go for a run. They'd say, I think he's in shock. Ed's in shock now. His mind done went on him. And, you know, the poor boy just, he blood loss probably to the brain because of his heart. That's probably what happened to him. You know, they wouldn't have, you need to understand this. Majority of the people you around, when you do these kinds of things, like we're talking about here, they're not going to understand. They're not going to, I'm sorry, people ain't going to understand it. They're not going to understand you talking about you being well. If they see, you know, that you still have a problem and you're saying, praise, I believe I received my healing. Glory to God. God's power is working in me and I'm recovering. Well, you don't look like you're recovering. It's like Keith Moore tells the story of the man who was in bed, he visited him in the hospital, and he said the guy was so weak, he said you had to put your ear down to his mouth to hear him talk. And he said he was trying to say something to him, and he said, I put my ear down, the guy said, I'm winning. Glory to God. Now, if you get most Christians around, see that poor man down there. Yeah, he'll be dead in no time. They'll get over there trying to help the devil to kill him. Now he's got to fight the devil and them. And they do, literally. He's fighting their spirituality trying to kill him. They're fighting. He has to fight that. Because that's going to start, those words are going to start working against that individual. Those words. If they spoke that and believed that, that's faith words going out toward that guy trying to get him. That's their faith trying to kill him. So people don't understand the stuff that they do. He said, I'm winning. And Keith Moore said the guy did. He recovered. He won. Hallelujah. He said, I'm winning. Didn't look like he was winning. I'll guarantee you, if you'd ask him right then, do you feel like the power of God's in you? You know what? He's operating on pure faith. He may not have been able to do nothing with his body, but his words. He spoke what he did what he could do, and his word says, I'm winning. He ain't going to sit there and say, I'm losing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can win in the same way. If he can win, you can win. Glory to God. If he can get over on, all you do is you act in faith. You stay over on the faith side of it. And I will guarantee you, you will see manifestation. It will come. God will make sure it shows up. But I don't know about you. When I found out that I didn't have to bring the manifestation, Ed Gibson got a relief. It was like, whew, I don't have to heal me. Glory to God. Faith in God will work. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. How to do? She stayed in the area of faith. God brought the manifestation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it will for you too. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today as we looked again at your gracious, wonderful, glorious words. And they are. They're glorious. And I want to thank you. And Father God, there's people who will listen to this teaching. Father God, I pray for hearts to open up to understand these words. Father, because there's many people, Lord God, are hurting in this area. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. And Father God, you desire to heal them. And Father, you want to take the pressure off them where they can just believe, hallelujah, that you're working in them, Lord God, when they're prayed for or when they pray concerning themselves. Father God, I thank you. It'll take people to a new level, a new walk with you. So Lord God, the demonstrations of your glory will be mightier and mightier through them. And Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.